Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. From infancy throughout childhood, Erica suffered horrific sexual abuse at the hands of her father. Though tragic, her story is ultimately one of triumph, as God has redeemed and restored her life. He's revealed himself to her in radical ways and has placed within her heart a desire to share her story of hope and healing with others. And that's what she will do. As we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. In spite of tragedy, horror, abuse, pain, suffering, the challenges of life, Christ is still here. He loves you. He loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today, who has touched the life and heart of Erica and healed her from the inside out, he can do a marvelous work in you, whatever you might be facing today. Erica is a licensed social worker and has a passion for working with children with disabilities, as well as individuals and families affected by sexual abuse and trauma. Join me now in this pre-recorded interview with Erica. Erica, you experienced something unspeakable growing up. What was it?
For the time I was an infant until I was about 12 and a half years old, my father savagely and horrifically molested, sexually abused me.
How did you make it through? I mean, here you are, you're obviously able to talk about it, but how did you process that horrific experience?
Well, it was a long process. It didn't happen overnight. I wasn't even able to really comprehend what was happening to me as a child. I think as a way of protection, I just locked away those memories until I was ready and until my life was safe enough for me to start remembering, and the flashbacks started coming, and all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh.
So it sounds like you were able to block it off, almost like it didn't exist, it didn't happen. So you were able to live. Is it a form of protection, a protection mechanism that goes on physiologically or emotionally?
Yes, absolutely. It's physiological, it's emotional. Your brain just can't fathom, can't process the information. It puts it away. And during the abuse, I would dissociate. I wasn't even there mentally, really. And it was during, I don't know the exact science of it, but it was during that time that it was like almost as though the abuse was happening to someone else, because I couldn't fathom the fact that my own father, who I loved, who I thought loved me, would be doing this to me. I didn't know what he was doing. I thought he was trying to kill me. And he told me I was bad and dirty and gross, and so he had to punish me. And I interpreted my punishment as, I'm so bad that he has to punish me. He has to try to kill me.
Now, with this, you know, in the forefront of the experience, the experience that at that time, there's a disassociation.
Yes.
How did you become a Christian? And, how did you become a Christian?
Again, I think this is a little bit of a long story. I was actually raised in a home with two parents that professed Christ. That my mom actually lived it. My dad didn't. So I was, from kindergarten, I was raised in the church. I knew God. I knew Jesus. When I was 4, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. But there was always this disconnect between me and God. I didn't trust him. I didn't feel safe. And, I'd have my dad talking about, you have to trust God. He loves you. And you're trying to do Bible studies with us at night. And all I'm thinking is, I don't want to have anything to do with your God. I knew that God was real. I knew that in my own life, but I wanted to keep him at a distance to keep myself safe. And so for a lot of it during elementary, junior high years, I just kind of played the Christian game. I was good at it. The things made sense to me. I was like, oh yeah, I won't do this. I won't do that.
You mentioned from infancy to 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And then what happened after that? Now, when you talk about middle school, high school, did things continue?
I don't have real clear margins about when it started and when it stopped, because it was just such a regular, normal, bizarre, but normal part of my life. I mean, during the time after I believe that it did stop, there was still plenty of emotional abuse. My dad had outrageous, out of control temper, and he would just take it out on all of us, and he still was trying to spank me for discipline. I was in high school. I was just like, you gotta be kidding me, man. But so there was enough stuff going on, and still dysfunction, of course, and trauma in other ways. But
so, Erica, when did this disassociation reconnect to the reality of your life so that you could begin to process the horror?
It was August 2001. I was 22 years old, and honestly, I think that it was God's perfect timing, and I was living away from home. I was safe. I was stable. And I think that my brain, my body knew that it was time. And literally, it was just one night, late at night, all of a sudden, out of the blue, I started having flashbacks. And it was shocking and horrifying, but I knew 100% that it was true. And I think some people might have thought, if this happened to them, they might have thought, oh my gosh, I'm going crazy, what's happening? But I knew at my core that this was truth, reality, finally. And one of the first thoughts in my head was, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy. All of the things that happen, when you're traumatized as a child, you're not quite, you don't act the same. You don't think the same. It changes the way you perceive yourself. It changes the way you perceive others, the way you have relationships, the way you think about things, the way you see things, little rituals to keep yourself safe. All of a sudden, those things that I had been doing all along, that I had known I was doing, but didn't have a reason for them, all of a sudden, everything made sense. It was like, oh my gosh, I had to check my closet, because sometimes there was somebody in my closet to harm me at night.
What do you mean by that?
Well, even as an adult in college, I would have to make sure my room was safe and secure. I'd stand at my bedroom door and close the door and take an inventory of the room. I'd check under the bed, I'd check in the closet. I would make sure the room was safe before I climbed into bed and then turned out the light, because I was afraid of this nebulous something. All of a sudden, once I started having flashbacks and started remembering the truth of my past, I was like, I was remembering sometimes there was someone in my closet. Sometimes my dad was waiting in the darkness for me at night. My room wasn't safe as a child. The darkness wasn't safe as a child. And so what I thought was crazy, why am I at 20 years old having to check my room for what, monsters? All of a sudden it was, no, this is a residual of me trying to protect myself as a kid. And so things connected, and that kind
because
of thing
because you
stopped.
Remembered that your dad would,
yes, it was,
would be hiding in
exactly,
the shadows
exactly
when you were
mm-hmm,
a child.
Mm-hmm. It all came back to me, and it didn't all come back at once. It was, I mean, a process of definitely the first year. It was, I felt like constant flashbacks, something new to grieve over, something new to bring to counseling and to share with people and to try to process, and something else, honestly, at times to blame God for.
How did you begin to heal?
God, in his wisdom and grace, had people ready.
And by the way, when I asked that, Erica, it could have come across the wrong way in that it may sound by my tone or even by my cadence that I'm saying that you have to, that you had to hurry to heal. I'm not trying to imply that.
Right.
I'm not stating that. It's more just, you know, what did it take? What was it like?
Right,
to
where
go
do you
through
start?
The process, yes.
Right.
Erica will continue to explain the process, the length of time that it took. But more than a length of time, what went on inside her to make it through such a horrific series of years, years of sexual abuse, years of trauma, years that have been indelibly impressed upon her with these acts of her own father, who is a Christian, who is a leader in the church. Absolutely beyond what words can express. Inexplicable, this kind of pain. Have you experienced deep, deep pain? As Erica talks about her healing, whatever your pain might be, in Christ, there's also healing. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Yes. listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Erica did not know until years later. When it all came back, you know, there was a protective mechanism that took place within her life to enable her to just keep going. But when it all came back, she realized that she was a victim. She was a victim of horrific sexual abuse by her father. Her father was a spiritual leader, and the way she viewed God was twisted because of her experiences. And that's not very far different from the way many of us perceive God through the examples of other people who say they represent God. And quite often, sadly to say, the representation is not consistent with the God who reveals himself to us in Scripture. But hey, we can get confused about that. As such, Erica could have very well been one to have said, forget God, forget Christ. It just cannot make sense to me. Well, in this pre-recorded interview, Erica continues to explain what her experience was like. And as you listen, and I'd say, tune in very closely, open your heart. You might not have experienced sexual abuse like she has, but perhaps there has been a skewing of your perception because you have seen someone who has been a representative of God in a way that has, well, perhaps even twisted or turned your stomach because of what you know deep down inside and what you've experienced. Through that, my friend, God wants to still reveal himself to you in truth, as we see in God's Word. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Again, a pre-recorded interview with Erica. Listen in, and I'll be back with more comments in a few moments. It may sound by my tone or even by my cadence that I'm saying that you had to hurry to heal. I'm not trying to imply that.
Right.
I'm not stating that. It's more just, you know, what did it take? What was it like?
Right, and where do you start?
To go through the healing process, yes.
Right. At first it was just reaching out, like, I don't know, like a drowning man for something, somebody to grab hold to. And again, you know, God had placed people ready for us, ready for me, almost like ready to walk through this with me. Family, friends, and an incredible therapist that was dropped in our laps that knew how to process severe trauma at that root level to help contain it so that you could slowly start working on things and start looking at hope and future. But I didn't even know that healing was possible then. I really didn't. I remember saying, it will never be 10 years from now. It will never, this is always going to be right in my face, overwhelming me. I will never be okay. And then a few years ago, 10 years came, and I was able to look back and say, oh my gosh, sometimes it didn't seem like I was making any progress, but it happened. It came. And I think with trauma, there's this sense of a foreshortened future. You can't even imagine there could be anything, any life worth living after that. I thought my life was at an end, but really it was the beginning. It was the beginning of my life. God broke apart everything. He had to shatter me, but he was shattering the brokenness that was already there that I was trying to hold together.
You're able to describe, you're able to explain so well, it's hard to imagine. It's in some instances very, very difficult. Some might even say virtually impossible to imagine. You're a licensed social worker. You have a passion for working with children with disabilities, as well as individuals and families affected by sexual abuse and trauma. How did you choose to go into this career field?
You know, I didn't really choose it. I started to choose it, you know, in undergrad. When I was in college, I was a social work major for a year, and I was like, yeah, no, this isn't for me. But that was before I recognized. I knew I had a passion and a heart for people. I thought I wanted to do nursing, but that was a no-go. I don't do vomit. So I had to, you know, kind of
figure
out.
It's an important thing to know.
It really is. You know, it really is. Yeah. Unfortunately, it took me a year in nursing school to figure that out, but...
It's like someone going into nursing or medical profession and saying, oh, by the way, you know, I can't stand the sight of blood, right?
I thought it would be easily worked through, but actually that was also linked to my trauma, and so that's something that had to be processed through. But honestly, it was a long journey to get where I am even here, but I'm not sure when exactly, maybe around 2008, I was struggling, knowing that God wanted me to go back to school. I had been fighting him on it for several years. I finally was like, okay, fine. I'm willing to go back to school to go to grad school, but I don't know what to do there. I had looked into occupational therapy, physical therapy, all of this speech therapy, all this kind of stuff, but I just wasn't sure. I said, tell me what to do and I'll go do it. And one day, I'm walking through the house, and all of a sudden, it was like this picture in my brain of the words, social work. And I knew. It was like, okay, all right, God, here we go. And I turned around, and I went to my computer, and I started researching schools. And I mean, there was one school nearby that offered it. I mean, there were many schools that offered it. But I only applied to one. And I was discouraged a lot, actually, by not, you know, diversifying my applications. But I knew that it was social work, I knew that it was this school, and I knew that I was going to make it. And they actually, it looks like they may have accidentally let me in. They were supposed to send me the rejection letter, they accidentally put the wrong letter in the envelope and had to honor it, but I showed them I got a 4.0 outstanding graduate student, well, I mean, 1 of 10 outstanding graduate students. So I did okay.
But, to say the least.
Yeah.
You really did show.
God knew, and I knew that he knew that this is where I was supposed to go. And the crazy thing is that I didn't even know some of what social workers did. I remember sitting in class one day, they were talking about clinical skills. I was like, what is that? What does clinical skills mean? They're like, Erica, that's therapy. I was like, no way. We can do therapy?
And you remembered, did you have your therapist... before?
Oh, yes. Gosh, I've had a therapist for a long time.
So now you're making an association
and
possibly being you.
Right. Well, you know what? Not then. I was like, oh, yeah, that's not me. I can't do that. But it was through that schooling process that I kind of started to do some therapy. My internships just happened to be clinical internships. And the people around me were starting to say, you know, Erica, you kind of have a gift for this. You know, and one of my closest friends was in grad school with me, and she said, you know, she saw me doing it. She said, this is what you're made to do, Erica. And so I'm still not 100% sure that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm like, oh, no, God, I'm not ready. But it's a passion. I want to give hope to people. I want to help them see what's possible. That healing is possible. And part of that is the therapy component.
Why is therapy so important in healing?
Because you can't see your own stuff. I kind of think everybody should at least do a year of individual therapy just as part of college or part of, you know, you turn 21, here you go. You're going to learn about yourself. Let's get some insight here. I mean, and I think...
You got a point there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that for trauma especially, you need someone to walk through this journey with you. You need someone to help you hold and contain the grief, to be a witness to your process, to help guide you when you don't know where to go next, to help you learn how to gain insight into your own process. I've been in therapy for so long that my process looks different. It looks different now if I went to see someone than it would have when I first started, because I'm able to do more on my own. I need more of, like, just a sounding board, a guide, you know, like, hey, does this sound right to you? That kind of thing.
You work with clients / patients, people that come to see you. How has your experience enabled you to connect with them?
Well, I'm actually not currently in a clinical position. I'm not doing therapy right now. Mm-hmm. But just as a person, I know that as I've shared my story with people, it gives them freedom to share it with me. And so then there's that connection, and we can mutually share, and they realize I'm a safe person. If someone comes to me with a trauma, I'm not going to necessarily, you know, blab my stuff onto them, because they don't, you know, if they're working on their own stuff, then mm-hmm. I'm just going to support them. But I think that sometimes I have this might sound bad, this like excitement inside of me, this hope and joy welling up, like, oh my gosh, I have got to tell you something. You're struggling right now and it feels hopeless, but I can guarantee you it will not always be this way.
Erica, wow. To go through what she went through and to be able to talk about it in a way so clear, but still connected to, still connected to the pain, although she has gone through an extensive process of healing. And notice, through her pain, through her suffering, it connects with others who also go through the same kind of suffering or pain, or others who generally just are having a very, very difficult time. It's an interesting, we could even call it a phenomena, when you intrinsically sense, without even it having been said to you or you knowing about it, a connection with someone. Erica shares more, and we'll experience more of a connection with her, really through her, a connection to the Lord and His love and His grace when we come back. Stay with us. More with Erica. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
That's right. She says we could all use some therapy. I'm with her there. In fact, I have a therapist. You know, we all have stuff in our lives. And as Erica says, you know, whether it's a year or longer, to help process the things that we've gone through, things that we've talked about, or many things that we have never talked about. But to process, you see, those things are that which make us who we are. It's not only the good things that happen in our lives, the successes, the achievements, the accolades, some of the pain, some of the rejection, some of the bitterness. All those things also affect us as well. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Our guest today is Erica. Erica experienced horrific sexual abuse by her own father, who was a spiritual leader at her church. But she's here through this pre-recorded interview sharing her experience of the process of healing. And then before our break, she talked about the importance of therapy, having someone like a mirror, you know, allowing us to see parts of us that we wouldn't be able to see ourselves. If you're tuning in right now, you can get this whole podcast for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. I would encourage you to get a hold of it and, of course, share it with a family member or friend or both. And now, here's more with Erica. Open your heart and receive what the Lord is saying to you through her.
You're struggling right now and it feels hopeless, but I can guarantee you it will not always be this way. You choose life. You choose to walk forward, you choose healing. You choose, especially, I think, the key component is choosing to turn to God. And that's where the healing lies.
Your perspective, your view of God was distorted in some pretty distorted, contorted ways.
Yeah.
How did your view of God begin to change?
I think that part of it was just continuing with him, knowing that he was real. That was a big one already, just to start from that foundation of, I know he's here. People are telling me he's good. I kind of don't have anything going for me right now. Like, I'm, you know, I need more than me. And if these people I trust and whose lives I see, you know, something miraculous and special, you know, like, I'm going to trust that their view of God is probably more accurate than mine, and started to walk toward that. And I think that goes to my favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:13. And then the first part of 14, God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." Search for me and you will find me. Just search. Just as long as my heart was turned toward wanting to know him, he revealed himself to me. One event which I think for me was the main turning point was miraculous. And that was, I mean, that for me was like, that was it. The walls broke down. It was supernatural. But the starting was choosing to search, choosing to seek truth. He is truth. He will give it to you. If you want to find him, you will find him.
Did you experience shame?
Oh, gosh, yes.
In what way?
In every way. I was ashamed to be alive. I was ashamed of who I was at every level. I had shame even when I didn't know what I needed to be ashamed of, even as a child, not knowing what had happened.
So why? Why were you ashamed?
Because this, I mean, looking back, I can see that this horrible, shameful thing had happened to me. And it was from someone in a position of power and authority, someone who I loved and who was supposed to love me. And he was telling me I was dirty and bad and gross, that I needed to be punished. And so I absorbed his shame and guilt. It was only recently, within the past year, that I was fully able to put it back on him, so to speak, in my mind, in my heart, to literally transfer that burden of guilt and shame and realize that is not mine. That is not mine to carry. That's all on him.
How were you able to do that, Erica? It seems like something someone who's been abused needs to do. So practically, how? How did you do it?
I want there to be a formula, but there isn't. For me, it was at, you know, towards the end of almost 14 years of working toward healing. It happened, it was during a therapy session, but it wasn't even like we were talking really. It was just, I had this picture in my mind and all of a sudden everything connected. So whether it was, well, it was probably a combination of my heart in the right place and my mind and the gaining the insight in God, literally showing me and me finally believing him that the load
believing
was not
God.
Mine. Believing God that this load was not mine. Like the blinders were taken off and I could see truth. So I would love for there to be, you know, a clear-cut answer. First do this, and then do this for 6 months, and then pray this prayer, and then you're good to go. But it's not like that.
We live in a cookie-cutter world.
Yeah.
We like process. We like systems. Mm-hmm. I like to use those words.
Yep. Makes life tidy.
It makes life tidy. It makes us organized.
Yes.
It puts us in control.
Right. That's it, though. It's not about my control. It's not about me controlling my life. I think for me, the biggest healing came as I learned to trust God, as He revealed Himself to me, as I let go of my trying to control myself, my trauma, my pain, my healing, trying to control God, put Him in a box. This verse in Isaiah says, you know, God saying, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." And seriously, it's like a joke for me and God. He never does anything the same way twice with me because He doesn't want me to get comfortable and feel like I can predict Him. Like, no, don't worry, God. I got this. Mm. Trust me, Erica. Trust me, and I will do more than you could ever dream was possible. I never knew my life could look like this. My plans have been thrown out the window. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. I'm still single. I'm 35 years old. I have never been more free, more happy, confident, peace at my core. There's joy in my life.
Erica, I want you to share with us what you see. What you see now and what you're looking at for the future. And that's what she'll do when we come back in this pre-recorded interview with Erica. You know, you talk about somebody who's healed. One indicator is the way, not only the way they view themselves, but that's huge. How they see themselves, how that transformation of their perception of who they are in Christ has changed. But also how they look upon the future. And that's what we will hear from Erica when we come back. My friend, how do you see yourself? Look, how do we see ourselves? Is it the way someone has told us about who we are and what we are? Is it correct? Is it the way God sees us? And that's really the alignment that's necessary. It's not always the case. Erica will show us a good example of how she's experienced that and how it affects her look ahead. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word. Weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, how do you see your future? How do you see what God has in store for you? Are you looking ahead in life with a sense of anticipation? Is there an eagerness? Even though you don't know all the details, do you have a sense? Erica is going to share what her perspective is like. And when you see it in the context of where she's come from, a life of growing up with tremendous and horrific abuse, sexual abuse, you'll see how God can really perform resurrections in people's lives. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. That's what you're listening to today. If you want to get this program in its entirety, it's for you, free, at thegoodlifehawaii.com. That and other resources for you, my friend. And now, here's more in this pre-recorded interview with Erica. And I'll be back with just a few more comments in this last segment. And now open your heart and hear Erica share from her heart to yours. So, Erica, it's exciting to hear. It's exhilarating. It's moving. It's touching. It's hopeful to hear. Words, basically I'm using all these words because there's a certain level of inadequacy to knowing where you've come from, what you've experienced, to you being able to speak in the way that you're speaking about your present and about your future.
Honestly, there's a level of inadequacy in me to fully comprehend how this could have happened. That the healing part, the trauma almost seems more believable. We live in a fallen world. But the healing part, I don't have words for it myself.
Describe what you see. What do you see of yourself now? And what do you see potentially for the future?
I see confidence and peace and hope, and I'm not perfect, but I'm so different from who I was. Even a few years ago, I'm so different. I've come so far. I used to wonder and cry, who would I have been if this hadn't happened to me? I felt like I had been robbed of my identity, of my future, of my personality. And it was recently, within the last couple of months, I was talking with a friend who knows me probably better than anyone else on earth, sometimes better than I know myself. And she, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but she said, Erica, I think you're there. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, you're there. You are who you've always been meant to be. You are who you would have been without the trauma. This is your personality. You've been able to blossom finally. This is who you were intended to be. But with the trauma history, with this healing journey, there's a different depth to me, a different depth of caring about others. Just a different richness. Not to say that if I had it to do all over again, if I had to go live another life, of course I wouldn't choose this. I wouldn't choose trauma for me. I wouldn't choose trauma for anyone. But I can see the beauty in this healing journey, and I can see the incredible privilege I have now to share with others and give hope. I want to give hope.
One thing you've done, your life testifies of it, whether you say it or not, just by the way that you would be with others, your presence with others. You've kept on living.
Oh, yes.
And I wonder, you know, I recently was at a baseball game, and, you know, one of the teams was struggling. They were losing. The margins were getting larger. I saw a friend who was a coach, and he said, how's the game going? And I described the situation, and these were his words. He says, keep on playing. Mm-hmm. Keep on playing. And as the teams kept on playing, things began to change. But it brings to bear the thought, what if at some odd point the coach got out and said, okay, game over, we're not going to continue. You short-circuit what could have been. And you have continued to live. But here's a clincher. You're not just living, or you haven't continued to just live for the sake of living in the raw base level. Mm-mm. There's been growth in the living. There's been healing. There's been nurture, so that your closest friend is able to bear witness, yes, of what she sees. And that, Erica, is a word of hope. It's a testament of hopefulness for someone else who has their own nightmares, who has their own flashbacks, who is right now, you know, whether it's virtually shaking their head, blinking their eyes with a look of, did it really happen? Almost a look of shock. Did I really experience that? And now the association is coming together. In your testimony, it's possible to come back. Yes. Completely.
Yes.
Completely.
Yes.
What would you say to someone who is batting their eyes, shaking their head, in a dubious way, wondering, did this really ever happen to me? I don't think so. I doubt it. But deep down inside, they know that it did.
I've had those doubts. I've had them a lot over the years. I think that you do yourself a disservice when you don't believe yourself. When you don't believe, I mean, obviously you want to kind of check things out, figure out, does this, you know, jive with reality? As far as, like, were there certain people around? Could this have happened? You can talk with people about it. You can seek counseling. There are books you can read that kind of show some, you know, common symptoms of, you know. But here's the thing, though. This just came and popped into my head. You can work toward healing without remembering everything, without acknowledging everything. If you have concerns, start praying. Seek God. Find yourself a therapist and just start exploring. Now, find yourself a good therapist, okay? Don't just find yourself any therapist.
I was going to follow up with that. You sort of moved in that direction. But what in your opinion, Erica, makes a good therapist? And for that matter, what would make one that you would probably not go to? Let's answer both.
Okay. So, if in my opinion, a good therapist is one that listens more than they talk, that doesn't put their own thoughts or feelings or ideas or emotions onto you, that doesn't tell you what you're thinking or feeling, that doesn't tell you what did or didn't happen, but is someone, a presence there to allow you to process what you're doing, to help you speak and then hear what you spoke. Somebody who speaks your words back to you so you can hear them, that allows you to take your time. Someone who has experience with trauma is important. And someone, in my opinion, what's worked best for me is someone who can incorporate the cognitive styles of therapy as well as more body-focused styles of therapy like EMDR and somatic experiencing, so that you can use the primitive memories in your body.
Explain that EMDR and just a snapshot.
Okay,
of it
so those types of therapies really focus on the primitive brain. So it's really they're really good for, you know, childhood traumas or those really intense traumas where you're in that fight, flight, or freeze mode. And they access through different ways, through, you know, a beeping in your ear or through just noticing and being aware of sensations in your body. They access that primitive part of your brain that doesn't necessarily have a lot of cognition, a lot of, you know, thoughts and words and logic associated with it. And so for me, when I can get out of my head sometimes, that's when the breakthrough comes. That's when the healing comes, when I stop thinking and obsessing about, you know, whatever thoughts are in my head or whatever. I'm trying to figure out, well, you know, trying to make my trauma chronological, my memories, you know, that it needs to fit in this box. It's not neat and tidy. That's just not how it is. Trauma affects your brain. It affects how you process things. And so those types of modalities for me have been really great in really accessing and healing that deep trauma. And, it, you know, it was kind of like I've kind of found it as, I mean, it wasn't like I went searching for this. Like, I feel like God kind of brought it to me.
When you talk about obsessing.
Yeah.
Is obsessing that part of what you describe, is that something common? This is more of a general question. Is that common to a connection with trauma?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, part of, you know, trauma is, you know, intrusive thoughts and not being able to get thoughts out of your head. For me, it's hard to know, you know, what's personality and what's trauma. You know, I think that now for me, it's really just personality. And I just need to be like, okay, stop. And I'm not, you know, obsessing about trauma things. It's just, you know, obsessing about, you know, these thoughts. I'm like, can't stop thinking. I think too much, honestly. I just do. I just need to stop thinking sometimes. And that's why those methods of therapy that went so against the way I wanted to process my life, I think that's why it worked for me. It's kind of short-circuited things.
You found, well, it's nothing quite like somebody just sharing from the heart. And, sometimes in sharing from the heart, you know, you have to shoot from the hip, so to speak. You don't know where the questions are coming or even where the answers are going, but you trust that God is going to use that to minister to someone at their point of need. And that's the marvelous thing about our God, our great and merciful God, who is able to personalize a word of hope just for you at this moment in your life right now. And that's why it is our hope that you've been encouraged by the insights from Erica, because God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you, even as Erica has done. And if you haven't done so yourself, you know, this is the perfect moment for you, dear friend, to open your heart to Jesus Christ. I hope you will. Go to thegoodlifeway.com and click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation set up for you there. To help us with your financial support to make a donation, thegoodlifeway.com, click Partners. Jeremiah 29:23, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, says the Lord. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Erica. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.